Ready?
Yeah.
We're item 8B, is that correct, Mr. Parker?
Sure.
The Butte Valley Groundwater Sustainability Plan? Yes?
Yes.
All right.
All right. Good afternoon. Matt Parker, Assistant County Natural Resources. This item is regarding the DWR determination of the Butte Valley Groundwater Sustainability Plan. As a quick kind of a recap, on January 18th, the GSA, the board, received a letter from DWR determining that the Butte Valley Groundwater Plan, or GSP, is incomplete, and thus set in motion a process for us to correct and resubmit to DWR by July 16th of this year. Our consulting team has been hard at work. We've met with DWR 4 or 5 times to discuss the fixes we are working on. We've brought material and topics to our advisory committees multiple times. A few weeks back, we had a very productive discussion with our advisory committee. And so today, Dr. Harder is going to provide the up-to-date information on how the correction to the plan is moving forward. Some dates to think about in the future: July 9th is our scheduled board hearing where you, the board, will re-adopt the plan so that we can get it submitted to DWR in a timely fashion. So with that, I will turn it over to Dr. Harder.
Mr. Chair, Board of Supervisors, my name is Thomas Harder. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Thomas Harder. I am a professor of cooperative extension at the University of California, Davis. And I wanted to give you an update on where we are with the technical team and the advisory committee, as Matt pointed out, with respect to the groundwater sustainability plan. And I appreciate Laura Poya's work and her team's work at Larry Walker & Associates putting these slides together. Next slide. So the DWR determined the groundwater sustainability plan that we submitted 2 years ago to be incomplete and requested 2 major corrective actions on the groundwater sustainability plan. One is to reconduct an assessment of overdraft conditions and describe management actions to mitigate that overdraft. The key tasks here is to refine the water budget and better understand the degree to which the water budget is unbalanced and causes continued decline of water levels, and provide reasonable means to mitigate that decline in water levels. Corrective action 2 is to further justify why we're setting the sustainable management criteria, specifically the minimum thresholds for water levels at where we have set them. And more specifically, actually, prior to even setting these, specifically describe quantitative undesirable results that we're planning to avoid. And then, according to these quantitative undesirable results, we would be resetting minimum thresholds. Next slide. So, as Matt pointed out, we've been meeting with DWR on a monthly basis and will continue to do so. The team at Larry Walker & Associates has redone some of the modeling and refined the water budget. We're reviewing the model results and the boundary conditions, and we are writing drafts of quantitative description of undesirable results for the users of groundwater, for users and users of groundwater, which involves a reanalysis and reconfirmation of the well outage analysis that was done for the groundwater sustainability plan. Next slide. So there's three key findings that we're making that are important. One is there is not an immediate threat of water levels reaching the minimum thresholds, but there is a further, if the current decline in San Mateo well continues, that decline would neither be desirable nor acceptable. And the representative monitoring network that we have is what we're using to monitor the water levels and whether or not they're declining. Next slide. Some of the wells have been stabilizing over the last few years. Next slide. Some wells have continued to show some declines. These are some examples from our representative monitoring network. What you see on these slides is on the y-axis, on the vertical axis, you have the elevation above mean sea level. On the x-axis, on the horizontal axis, you have time from the 1950s all the way through the 2040s. The blue line on this graph is the hydrograph. This is the measured water level at this particular well, which is indicated by a blue dot in the map of Butte Valley in the lower left-hand corner of the graph. Superimposed on this blue line is a black line, which is a trend line that was fitted to the red dots that are on the blue line. Basically, the fall water levels between 2000 and 2014, in order to determine for the most recent period, baseline period prior to 2015, what that decline in water level was. There's a number of other lines on here. The dashed dark red line at the top is the land surface elevation. The dashed green line is the upper level of where we would like water levels to be, and the solid green line is the lower level where we would like water levels to be, the so-called measurable objective. So essentially the green line and the dashed green line outline where we would like our operating range to be for water levels in Butte Valley. The orange line is a trigger level, and the red line is what we have defined in the Groundwater Sustainability Plan as the minimum threshold. I'm showing these graphs primarily here to show where we have been in the last 6 years with respect to water levels through 2024, especially the last 4 years since we wrote the Groundwater Sustainability Plan. So the last three or four or five dots on that blue graph to show that some of the wells are continuing to decline, some of the wells have stabilized. Next slide. This one happens to be one where we have seen some uptick in water levels. Next slide. This is one where winter water levels seem to have stabilized, fall or spring water levels have stabilized, which are the higher ones, but the lower ones, which are usually measured in the fall in 2019 and 2020, have been lower than they have been before. Next slide. This is one that's not so prominently impacted by groundwater pumping, but where we continue to see a decline in water levels. Next slide. And here's another one that is ever so slightly continuing to decline up at the northeast boundary of the basin. Next slide. Here's another one where we see some leveling off more recently in water levels, and that's what we want to see in the future as well for all of the other monitoring wells, too. Next slide. And this is one last example where the winter water levels seem to have, the spring water levels seem to have stabilized, like the upper dots. But on the lower dots, we saw a jump downward in 2021 from the lowest point that was measured in 2015 or 2016 here. And in last year, we have come back up. And our desire is to make sure that these water levels, while they may fluctuate, start to stabilize around that green line or above that green line. Next slide. So the next finding is that in order to maintain these water levels at these desired levels, that is around the measurable objective or above the measurable objective, What we need to maintain is we need to maintain a sufficient subsurface outflow towards Tule Lake and Lost River area, the Klamath Wildlife Refuge, through sort of the northeastern volcanics, which is marked by a small mountain range of Butte Valley. And the need for having that subsurface outflow affects the sustainable yield in Butte Valley. In order to come up with that sustainable yield, we use the Butte Valley Integrated Hydrologic Model, and I'll give you a very brief conceptual outline of how groundwater works in Butte Valley. Next slide. So in the very, very big picture, in a very oversimplified way, this is a cross-section through Butte Valley from the north side of Mount Shasta, all the way down to Butte Valley itself, which is where the groundwater basin is that the Groundwater Sustainability Agency is responsible for. So the light brown area is Butte Valley. That's the area for which we are writing the Groundwater Sustainability Plan and where we need to maintain water levels, which are shown here sort of as the top area of that light blue. That light blue area is schematic in the identification of where groundwater is and where the top of groundwater is. And then on the right-hand side, going toward the northeast, would be the Lower Klamath Wildlife Refuge, and then further to the northeast, Tule Lake and the Oregon border. Very oversimplified, we have volcanic rocks in dark brown, some sedimentary rocks interspersed with some volcanic rocks in Butte Valley itself. Most of the groundwater is coming from the mountains to the south and west of Butte Valley, where we have this much larger amount of precipitation, but soils are very permeable, and so we have relatively limited amounts of runoff. There's not a lot of rivers coming off of those mountains, and most of the water in the streams that are there will actually percolate into the subsurface and become groundwater before it enters Butte Valley, except on the rainiest days. So we have actually lots of groundwater entering this groundwater basin from the south and the west, flowing through Butte Valley, where some of it is pumped for irrigation and then evapotranspiration from the crops. And then we have some groundwater continuing on its journey to the northeast. What you can see is that Butte Valley has water levels higher than the Lower Klamath Wildlife Refuge and water levels that we would see in Tule Lake or on the Oregon side. In order to keep water levels at the elevation where we want to be, we need to have some flow to the right, and that limits the amount of sustainable yield that we have in Butte Valley. Next slide. On this slide on the right, you see a map of the watershed around Butte Valley. With the middle map, the left of the two maps is indicating the amount of recharge. High amounts of recharge is in red, low amounts of recharge is in dark blue, and you can see very nicely here a large amount of recharge that occurs on the north side of Mount Shasta and the mountains to the north of Mount Shasta, and also on the west side of Butte Valley. Butte Valley itself is where you see the names for McDowell and Mount Hebron, and the Highway 97 sign, and then Doris is up in the northeast corner. So the basin itself is actually a smaller part of this larger map, which shows in the red and gray line the area that we are modeling. On the right side, you again see the model area is the gray and blue line around the map. In red on the right map, you see the areas where we have groundwater pumping. There's some groundwater pumping outside Butte Valley to the south and to the east. Most of the pumping is in Butte Valley itself. The groundwater flow is from the south and west toward the northeast and toward the east in this basin. And as I mentioned in the previous slide, Butte Valley is a way station on that groundwater flow path towards the Klamath River system. On the left side of this graph, I'm showing a typical water budget for the last 24 years, where on the y-axis you have volumes of acre feet per year of water, and on the x-axis, on the horizontal axis, you have time from 1990, which is when we start our model, to 2023. The numbers above zero are in green and blue. The green indicates the amount of recharge that occurs in the area that you see to the right. The blue and red indicate some inflow and outflow along the Klamath River on the northwest margin of this map area. They're relatively small. The purple and the brown bars show the amount of pumping in purple and the amount of groundwater outflow toward the northeast. And you can see that the they're of similar magnitude, and together they more or less match the amount of recharge that we have in the system, primarily south of Butte Valley, south and west of Butte Valley. Recharge varies substantially over time, year to year, whereas that outflow and the amount of pumping are relatively stable. Next slide. When we look at sort of the future and we ask ourselves, if we continue our business as usual, where do we end up going? We considered two scenarios. One was the very, very dry part of the ongoing, now 25-year mega drought that the Western United States is experiencing, and looking at just the last 13 years or 14 years, and basically repeating both the climate and the amount of groundwater pumping that has happened in the last 14 years over the next 120 years over and over and over again. And if we continue to have that really dry climate, very, very dry climate that we had over the last 13 years in this basin, and if we continue to do the amount of groundwater pumping with that really dry climate, then the brown line on the right-hand side essentially indicates the total groundwater storage change in the valley that we would see, indicating we would see a continued decline of water levels for possibly another century. So it's while the system is wouldn't completely empty itself out, we would go to essentially a new equilibrium over the next 100 years in terms of water levels, but it would be well below our minimum thresholds. Next slide. We also simulated what would happen if we just stopped pumping at the end of 2023 and did nothing under these climate conditions we had in the last 13 years, if they were to continue over and over again for the next 120 years. And you see that the system would go to a different equilibrium, with water levels being significantly higher than they currently are. But the main part I want to point out is that we would see that change within the next 5 years. We would see significant changes in groundwater storage and therefore in water levels. And that's an important signal to us to say we should be able to observe changes within a 5-year period and be able to manage this in an adaptive way before we need to be at sustainability in 2042. Next slide. Here is another scenario. If we repeat, instead of the last 12 or 13 very, very dry years, if we just repeat the last 24 years of mega drought, if that is the climate that we're going to continue to face, slightly less dry overall than the last 12 years were, we would still see a continued decline in water levels in the long run, and it would take, next slide, roughly a 10 to 15% reduction in groundwater pumping to bring that system into balance. That is, the brown line is no longer just continuing to decline. When we fix pumping at that level, we are at about 65,000 acre feet of groundwater pumping, which is the average that we estimate has been the groundwater pumping for the baseline period from 1990 to 2014. It's slightly above the pumping that has been reported in one report, at least, for the 1970s. It's about 5% less pumping than we had in the last 2 years. It's about 10% less pumping of the average over the last 5 years. And it's about 13% less pumping than we measured in the really dry years these last 13 really, really dry years. So we will need a reduction in groundwater pumping to achieve sustainable yield. Next slide. That's essentially, again, defining three. We have to revise the sustainable yield to be 10% less, 10 to 13% less than the average from the last 13 years, and about the same as what it was during the baseline period. That's basically what this slide repeats to say. Thank you. Next slide. Just for your information, this slide shows the pumping, the estimated amount of pumping over the last 20, 34 years. On the left side is the table with the year and the amount of pumping. In the 1990s, you see pumping being typically in the 50s and 60s, 1,000 acre feet per year, rising to around 70,000 acre feet per year in the 2000s. And in the drought between 2014 and 2017, we see significantly larger numbers of pumping. 2013 had the highest amount of pumping. We estimated that to be at almost 90,000 acre feet per year at the time. That's reflected in the pink bars on the right graph. And this graph now is a water budget just for Butte Valley itself. So Butte Valley itself actually has very little recharge. So the green bars are relatively small, but it has a lot of underflow going into the valley, which is the blue bars. That's essentially the main source of groundwater in Butte Valley itself underneath the valley floor. The orange, again, is the flow that's going to the northeast outside of Butte Valley that we need to maintain to keep water levels from further declining in Butte Valley itself. Next slide. So in terms of the options that we have to address the corrective actions is we could revise the minimum thresholds to be at the lowest historic levels. This is a choice that many groundwater sustainability plans in Northern California have preferred, but that would mean a significant lowering of pumping in the Butte Basin. Basically a stepwise program where we may end up with significantly more than 10 or 15% of groundwater pumping reduction, at least for an interim period. Another option, number three, is to do not a whole lot, consider a well mitigation program, to not limit groundwater use, but that would very likely mean, based on precedents now set by basin in the Central Valley, that we will fail the revision and we will end up in probation with the State Water Board under Chapter 11 of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. Next slide. The option that we've recommended and that the advisory committee is supporting is to keep minimum thresholds and extended minimum thresholds as we defined it in Groundwater Sustainability Plan in 2022, but adjust the sustainable yield and have a very strong well mitigation program that will mitigate any undesirable results that occur even before we hit minimum thresholds. Undesirable results that would occur to beneficial uses and users in the basin, which is something that EWR is very much looking to award in our revision. And we, in looking at other groundwater sustainability plans and that have come through revisions, the strong well mitigation program is going to be a key element of this revision. And the other part of this will be the adjustment of the groundwater pumping by 10 to 15%, depending on which reference period you use for this, to about 65,000 acre feet, and having ways to be able to actually enforce that and account for that reduction in groundwater pumping. That will be the other part that we will have to address in this revision of the groundwater sustainability plan. Next slide. So we, I don't think this kind of summarizes most of what I've said. I think at this point, I want to just skip the last couple of slides and leave it to questions. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Parker, anything you want to add?
Nothing further to add.
Okay. Board questions?
No questions. I think you covered it. If the board does have questions, I don't want to jump ahead of them, but if not, I would be correctly actually here too. It's recommended by our DC Davis, as well as recommended by the U-Valley City Advisory Board.
So do we have action on this today?
Asking for direction, it looks like.
That's the direction.
Yeah, if you don't need a motion, that would be
that. I'm fine with that.
Essentially, we're asking for your thumbs up on what we've presented, what the advisory committee has sort of agreed on and provided their support behind. Next steps would be to basically take the same set of information to DWR for sort of one last discussion and say negotiation of sort, but it's not really negotiation. But in the meanwhile, we start rewording the GSP where appropriate to go along with what has been discussed.
Okay. We have a public comment.
Caller Indian 5994, it is your turn to speak.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, this is Rick Dowdy from Copco Lake.
Yes. Are you speaking on the Butte Valley thing or the item that we're just talking about now? Is that correct?
Yeah, I want to talk about the water problem, basically.
Okay. Go ahead.
We've been fighting dam removal for over 20 years. It's one problem after another. It seems to me that the people responsible for dam removal are basically terrorists, and you can't negotiate with terrorists. And that's where we've made our mistake. And until we run them out of our county and start rebuilding dams, this issue and problem is just going to keep going on. And it might be 1 year, 5 years, 20 years from now before we finally decide we made a mistake, like taking the dams out. But eventually, we're going to need to rebuild dams. That's all I want to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So I think you have four nodding heads for what you've proposed. So.
Okay.
All right. I think we're all on the same page. Yes.
Sounds good. We will be back on July 19th with the...
Not 9th.
July 9th. What did I say?
19th.
Probably
you can hear by yourself.
I'll be out of town. But yeah,
July 9th.
Yeah, we've got to publish the 45 days out.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to finish up the agenda before we go to close so that I don't hold anybody or make anybody come back, if that's all right. And even if you disagree, we're going forward.
No, that's fine. Are we still in flood?
We're still in flood.
Thank you.
And I'm going to item 8C.
Okay.
This is Lake Siskiyou Resort Rate Adjustment.
Good afternoon. I'm Anna Kibble, Deputy Director of General Services. The department was approached by the operators of the campground to ask you for a rate increase. Attached to the resolution is the rates proposed. They are asking for a $3 increase across the board for campsites and cabins.
Okay, questions from the board? I don't have any difficulty with this. The only thing that I would have difficulty with is if they've already implemented before they come here.
They have not.
Okay, thank you. looking for action.
My comment would be, I get the costs go up, whatever, but I don't expect this to be an annual thing that we're going to keep raising rates. With that, I'll make the motion.
I have a motion. I'll second.
All righty. Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Okay.
And Director Kopsa?
Aye. Item 8E, transfer of funds. Who's doing that?
It's kind of like a consent item.
It is? Okay.
Move to approve.
All right. Second. Go ahead. Team. Super. Director Ogren.
So who?
Director Ogren is second.
For the second. Okay. Thank you. Alrighty, Director Valenzuela.
Yeah.
For the transfer.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Kopsa?
Aye. Minute approval for flood control.
I've received no corrections.
So move.
Take your choice.
Okay. Alrighty. Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Kopsa?
Aye. We will adjourn as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and convene as the Siskiyou Power Authority, item 9A. This is the time for public comment. Any in-house? Seeing none. Any online?
Showing none online.
None online. Item 9B, transfer of funds.
Could you remind me again what specifically what this is?
This is the...
Just the Northridge?
The
FERC.
The FERC?
Yep, okay. Move to approve.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Director Valenzuela.
Yep.
Excuse me, Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Kopsa.
Aye. We'll adjourn as the Siskiyou Power Authority and reconvene as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. And we're at 11A, if I'm not mistaken. This is the local emergency regarding illegal cannabis.
So move
to extend.
Extend. Thank you. All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa.
Aye. Minute approval, 13A and B.
The only thing I found is a couple of little typos, but no other changes.
Okay. Second. And a second.
And we're doing...
And
it's Ogren and Valenzuela?
Yes.
Thank you. Supervisor Valenzuela. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa.
Aye. Before we go into close, any staff reports?
Nothing to report.
Board reports?
Save for later day.
Okay. Let's go on ahead. Thank you very much. With that, we're going into closed session.